from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, listener. Welcome back with me, Ray. In today's edition, we will present some segments for you, starting from news, news across the country, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listeners, we begin with the news, so stay with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia welcomes ICJ's opinion on Israeli policies in occupied Palestine. Indonesians in Bangladesh safe despite ongoing protests over public job turns to chaos. Now the news in detail. Indonesia welcomed the International Court of Justice, ICJ's, advisory opinion on Israeli policies and practices in the occupied Palestinian territory. The Indonesian Foreign Ministry on its social media Saturday said this opinion has addressed the aspiration of Indonesia and the rest of the international community in delivering justice for the Palestinians. The court has fulfilled its role in upholding a rule-based international order by determining through its ruling on Friday, July the 19th, that Israel's presence in the occupied Palestinian territory is unlawful. Hence, the court has made it clear that all countries and the United Nations should not recognize the illegal situation resulting from Israel's unlawful presence. Indonesia urged Israel to cease its illegal settlement activities and immediately evacuate all Jewish settlers in the occupied Palestinian territory. Indonesia also called the United Nations General Assembly and the United Nations Security Council to meet ICJ's request by considering appropriate means and necessary steps to end Israel's unlawful presence in Palestine. Indonesia's foreign ministry confirmed that Indonesian nationals residing in Bangladesh are safe amid the ongoing protests over the state employment quota in the country, which has descended into chaos. The ministry's director of the Protection of Citizens, Yuda Nugraha, remarked that the Indonesian embassy in Dhaka is carefully monitoring the security situation in the South Asian country. The embassy has urged Indonesian communities in Bangladesh to remain cautious and maintain personal safety as the ongoing protests has affected public transportation and communication systems as well as caused fatalities. The local authority reported that at least 75 people were killed during the ongoing protests on the state employment quota system. Most of the deaths were reported in Dhaka, the nation's capital. Indonesian Tourism and Creative Economy Minister Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno has advised the next government to continue the development of the 5 super priority tourist destinations to support Bali as the country's leading destination. According to him, the number of tourist visits to the 5 destinations has increased in the last year. He made the recommendation after making a work visit to Bantul District, Yogyakarta on Saturday. The Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy has set 5 super priority tourist destinations, namely Lake Toba in North Sumatra, Borobudur Temple in Central Java, Labuan Bajo in East Nusa Tenggara, Mandalika in West Nusa Tenggara, and Likupang in North Sulawesi. He expressed the hope that the five super priority destinations would be supported by world-class infrastructures, such as Yogyakarta International Airport, which serves travelers visiting Borobudur Temple. Planes were gradually taking off again Saturday, July the 20th, after global airlines, banks, and media were thrown into turmoil by one of the biggest IT crashes in recent years, caused by an update to an antivirus program. Passenger crowds had swelled at airports on Friday as dozens of flights were cancelled after an update to a program operating on Microsoft Windows crashed systems worldwide. By Saturday, officials said the situation had returned virtually to normal in airports across Germany and France as Paris prepared to welcome millions for the Olympic Games starting on Friday. Microsoft estimated Saturday that 8.5 million Windows devices were affected in the global IT crash, adding that the number amounted to less than 1% of all Windows machines. North Korea has resumed floating balloons carrying trash towards South Korea in apparent response to the South's restarting loudspeaker propaganda broadcast. The two Koreas have engaged in a tit-for-tat balloon campaign, with the North sending nearly 2,000 trash-carrying balloons southward since May, saying it is retaliation for propaganda balloons launched by South Korean activists. The Joint Chiefs of Staff made the statement on Sunday, noting they were flying towards the northern part of Gyeonggi. Seoul warned it will broaden the scope of such broadcasts if the North persists in sending the trash-carrying balloons. The International Court of Justice said on Friday Israel's occupation of Palestinian territories and settlements was illegal and should be ended as soon as possible, delivering its strongest findings to date on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. U.S. State Department said the ICJ opinion that Israel must withdraw as soon as possible from the Palestinian territories was inconsistent with the established framework for resolving the conflict. Washington said that framework took into account Israel's security needs, which it says were highlighted by the October 7 attacks on Israel by Palestinian Islamist group Hamas. Israeli warplanes struck the Houthi-controlled Yemeni port of Hodeidah on Saturday, a day after a drone attack by the Iran-backed rebels killed a civilian in Tel Aviv, both sides said. The strikes, which triggered a raging fire and plumes of black smokes, are the first claimed by Israel in the Arabian Peninsula's poorest country, some 1,800 kilometers away, analysts said. Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant said, adding more operation against the Houthis would follow. Gallant said the Hodeidah strikes were also a warning to other Iran-backed armed groups around the Middle East that have claimed attacks on Israel during the Gaza war. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This week's spotlight is on Indonesia examines European Commission data on greenhouse gas emissions. Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry reviewed the data from the European Commission as the executive body of the European Union stated that the volume of Indonesia's greenhouse gas emission was 1.24 gigatons of carbon dioxide or 2.3% of total global emissions in 2022. This data was reported by the European Commission in Greenhouse Gas Emission of All World Countries 2023, which also stated that Indonesia's greenhouse gas emissions increased by 10% in 2022 compared to 1 year earlier. Director General of Climate Change Control at the Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Laksmi Dewanti, on Thursday in Jambi said that Indonesia is not the biggest contributor to emissions, proven by Indonesia's per capita emissions, which even are much smaller than developed countries. Thus, she said, the European Commission data is not completely accurate. Even in this case, Indonesia's greenhouse gas emissions continue to be suppressed and experience reduction in five sectors, namely energy, waste, industrial processes and products use, agriculture, and forests and other land. The Ministry of Environment and Forestry noted that Indonesia's emissions reduction reached 47.3% in 2020, then 43.8% in 2021, and 41.8% in 2022, compared to the annual baseline, which is around the national determined contribution target of 43.2% with international and long-range cooperation, exceeding the national capacity target of 31.89%. Likewise, for 2023, although the data is still in the process of being verified and will soon be published, the ministry believes the results will be directly proportional to the emissions reduction achievements of the previous year. According to Lakshmi Dewanti, interventions will also continue to be carried out, included in the existing program. For example, the energy transition to higher sustainability, including early termination of steam-powered electricity, strengthening the forestry sector to increase carbon absorption, and controlling waste that produces methane gas. In this effort, the Ministry of Environment and Forestry added elements of hydrofluorocarbons, or HFCs, which are generally produced by air conditioning equipment, into the second nationally determined contribution, or NDC, document to reduce emissions and eliminate their use starting this year. In addition, the Director General of Climate Change Control, Lakshmi Dewanti, emphasized that climate control efforts are also being strengthened with the support of the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, which has initiated the construction of greenhouse gas monitoring towers for two of the six targeted tower units. The existence of a greenhouse gas monitoring tower is important in the accuracy of climate control policies because it has the ability to classify the levels of major ozone-destroying carbon levels. That was this week's Spotlight. I'll start today in history with July the 21st, 1945, the end of the war in Indochina between France and Vietnam. The agreement to end the war between France and Vietnam was signed on July the 21st, 1945, at the end of the Geneva Conference, which was also attended by representatives from the United States, Britain, China, and the Soviet Union. This agreement followed the French defeat in Vietnam at the Battle of Dien Bien Phu. However, under pressures from the United States, the accord also agreed to divide Vietnam's territory until 1956 and ordered all foreign troops to leave Vietnam. Contrary to the contents of the agreement, the United States instead sent troops to Vietnam and supported the establishment of the South Vietnamese state. As a result, war broke out between the North Vietnamese Army and the South Vietnamese Army. Switching to July the 21st, 1983, the lowest temperature in history. History records July the 21st, 1983 as the moment when the coldest location or lowest temperature on Earth was revealed. At that time, the lowest temperature reached minus 89.2 degrees Celsius by ground measurements. The place that recorded the lowest temperature was the Soviet Vostok Station in Antarctica. On August 10, 2010, satellite observations showed a surface temperature of minus 93.2 degrees Celsius. However, this was not listed as a record low temperature because it was measured by remote sensing from a satellite and not by ground thermometers, unlike the 1983 record. I'll end today in history with July the 21st, 2005, London bombing. On Thursday, July the 21st, 2005, four attempted bomb attacks were carried out on London's public transport system. It happened 2 weeks after the London bombings of July the 7th, 2005. The explosions occurred around midday at Shepherd's Bush, Warren Street and Oval stations on the London Underground and on London Bus Route 26 at Bethnal Green on the Hackney Road. However, this attempt failed because some of the bombs only partially exploded. Four people suspected of being responsible for the failed attack were arrested in late July 2005. That was today in history.
Listener, in this week's Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners, wherever you are, and who have sent their letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering their letter or emails. First, I would like to reply to a letter from Harold Suss in Austria. In his email, Mr. Harold Suss said that he heard the signal on shortwave from our station in the Philippines when he was on holiday. He was listening to English programs through frequency 3325 kHz with signal quality of signal is fair in Sinpo 25232 to 35333. Hello, sir. Thank you so much for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. As per your request, our management will send you a QSL card to your address. So keep listening to VOI. Thank you. Well, listener, wherever you are, here is a beautiful song for you. Enjoy the song. Lupakanmu.
lalu begitu saja.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and also through our website and www.voinews.id. In today's topic, we will give information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on 2024 Jakarta International Sailing Championship, a momentum to develop sailing sports in Indonesia. Indonesian Minister of Youth and Sports, Dito Aryo Tejo, warns the 2024 Jakarta International Sailing Championship, which will take place at Symphony of the Sea Ancol, Jakarta, from July 26 until 28, to be a momentum to develop sailing sports in Indonesia. As stated on the website of the Ministry of Youth and Sports in Jakarta Wednesday, Minister Dito Aryo Tejo said that sailing is a sport that is competed in the Olympics, so it should be developed seriously to support increased national sporting achievements. Therefore, he hopes that the event will run smoothly and successfully and can increase interest and achievements in Indonesian sailing sports, both at the national and international levels. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Jakarta International Sailing Championship 2025 Committee, Edi Prasetyo, said that this activity was an initiation from Taman Impian Jaya Ancol together with the Jakarta Dinghy Sailing Clubs. He hopes that the sport championship can contribute to the development of water sports in Indonesia and that Ancol is ready to become an arena for sporting events. Meanwhile, Public and Government Relationship Officer Boy Rahmanda said that as one of the sports competed in the Olympics, the Jakarta International Sailing Championship is targeted to be a forum for Indonesian athletes to develop. According to Boy Rahmanda, through supports from the Ministry of Youth and Sports, holding the championship could be an important momentum for the development of sailing sports in the country. The 2024 Jakarta International Sailing Championship will be attended by 200 to 300 participants from various countries such as Australia, Singapore, Thailand, the Philippines, Japan, Malaysia, Hong Kong, India, and Indonesia. The categories competed in are optimist sailing, laser class or ILCA, windsurfing, and stand-up paddle. Apart from that, the 2024 Jakarta International Sailing Championship will also be enlivened with the Dragon Boat Exhibition. That was my Indonesia Sunday.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we will reply to a letter from Luda Cheng in China. He was listening to our programs in English through frequency 3325 kHz and wrote three reception reports of our broadcast. The SINPO of those reception reports was 55555. Hello, sir. Thank you for your letter and your attention. I hope your dream to win a gold medal in badminton will come true. As per your request, the management will send a QSL card to your address. Thank you. So keep listening to Voice of Indonesia, and here is a beautiful song just for you.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, oh. Yeah. Ku langkahkan kakiku, tak berharap temukan cintamu. Kamu, kamu, ya kamu.
Semuanya berbeda waktu pertama ku melihatmu. Kamu, kamu, ya kamu. Aku tiba-tiba sayang, aku tiba-tiba cinta. Waktu pertama melihat, melihat senyum manismu.
Menggoda hati yang kaku, akan kehadiran cinta. Ini kan namanya cinta pada pandangan pertamaku. Oh, yeah.
Kakiku ini berhenti tepat di hadapanmu. Kamu, kamu, ya kamu. Ku tak ragu, ku tak bimbang
untuk menjadikan kamu ratu, ratu di hatiku.
Aku tiba-tiba sayang, aku tiba-tiba cinta. Waktu pertama melihat, melihat senyum manismu.
Menggoda hati yang
Waktu pertama melihat.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequencies 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and our website in www.voinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Indonesian Wonder today is featuring Montel Waterfall, Kudus, Central Java. Indonesia has so many tourist destinations that offer various kinds of beauty to its visitors. One area that could be an option is Kudus Regency, which is located in Central Java because Kudus has waterfall tourism, one of which is the Montel Waterfall. Montel Waterfall is on the boundary between Japan Village and Colo Village, Kudus Regency, Central Java. The atmosphere of the Montel Waterfall area is quite calm. It is located on a plateau, namely on the Mount Moria area, so the atmosphere is cool, coupled with the many trees around the waterfall, which has a height of around 50 meters. To reach the Montel Waterfall location from the front entrance, tourists have to walk about 500 meters or about 10 minutes, and then when walking before reaching the waterfall location, visitors must pass a steep path, which is quite challenging. But there's no need to worry, because you will be treated to views of the trees and the coolness of the Moria slopes. Apart from that, visitors will also enjoy views of the Moria coffee plantations on either side of the route. For tourists who cannot walk, they can take ojek or motorcycle taxis for around 15,000 rupiah or around $1. Arriving at the Montel Waterfall, which is a single waterfall, tourists will be immediately pampered with natural beauty. You can play in the water around the waterfall. The water flow is very clear and clean, coming out between the towering cliffs on the slopes of Mount Moria. The pool where the water falls is not too big, but it is still fun to use for soaking and playing in the water. Moreover, there are many places to change floats and stalls around it so that tourists, after playing in the water, can enjoy snacks at the stalls around the waterfall. There are several versions about the origin of the name Montel of the waterfall. Some say that at that time, Sunan Muria, who was one of the 9 early Islamic propagators in Jawa, spread Islam in the Mount Moria area. Sunan Muria took the time to rest and wash up at the waterfall. However, there was someone who was speaking, or in local language, called Ngotil. The word Ngotil is the origin of the word Montel, which is known today. Another version says that when he was walking to get to the top of the mountain, he found the location of the waterfall. Walking or traveling on foot in local language is Montel. Hence, the waterfall was called Montel Waterfall. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today. See you tomorrow at the same time and frequency.
Before we end our segment, listeners' mailbag, I will reply to Malik Allah Bachaya Kokar in Pakistan. Hello, Mr. Malik Allah Bachaya Kokar. Thank you for your appreciation and attention on our broadcast. How are you today? Hopefully, you are in a good condition. Thank you for always listening to our broadcast. And listener, wherever you are, as information, you can access our broadcast, Voice of Indonesia, through 3325 kilohertz, 4755 kilohertz, which is broadcasted by WRMI. If you have suggestions or criticism, please send them to voilistners@gmail.com. voilistners@gmail.com. Thank you.
Jawabnya ini terjadi.
You have just listened to the third song. For the next segment, we will present to you Miscellany.
Miscellany today is about Art Moments Jakarta 2024. The Art Moments Jakarta 2024 exhibition, which has an environmentally friendly concept throughout the event, is ready to be held from August the 9th until 11th in Jakarta. The theme of this year's event is Renewal, a concept related to human life, including personal growth, social transformation, cultural renewal, technological progress, and environmental sustainability. Co-founder and fair director of this exhibition, Sandy Wijaya, said, "Art Moments Jakarta presents a dynamic and immersive platform for art galleries and artists to explore the multidimensional theme of renewal." Art Moments Jakarta 2024 will feature leading national and international galleries with a variety of modern, contemporary, and new media art, complete with curated art tours and various other supporting events. This exhibition will also present a series of discussions from experts discussing interesting topics for creating job opportunities and networks. The event will open with a dance from Harry Dono, the first Indonesian artist to penetrate the global art scene in the early 90s. He will present a visual interpretation of poetry that is sharp criticism of the past New Order government. Apart from that, this activity will also present the American Ivorian artist Abdoulaye Diarra Suba, or known as Abu Dia. The artist is renowned for his dynamic and expressive paintings that combine street art aesthetics with traditional African art influences. Organizers are engaging in short-term strategies such as the use of low-emission materials and long-term plans for booth designs that support sustainability principles. Sandy also encourages participation throughout the arts community to use low-carbon materials and demonstrate significant environmental change by encouraging individuals to report emissions, set goals, form green teams, and adhere to commitments to achieve substantial environmental progress. They use recycled panels to reduce the use of wood, which has an impact on deforestation. Well, that was Miscellany today.
Dulu barangmu kecil, terus tak berisi.
Of Indonesia.
Listeners, today's Music Quarter presents a song from Alesa. Alesa, an Indonesian pop band from the city of Majalengka, West Java, fronted by Putri, the vocalist, Elton, the guitarist, and Andre, the drummer, was founded in 2018 on July 17th, 2024. Alesa released a song entitled Jadikan Aku Yang Kedua, or Make Me the Second. This song was popularized by soloist Astrid, which was released in 2007. Alesa's version of Jadikan Aku Yang Kedua is packed in a more modern way. This song, which was a hit at the time, tells the story of someone who is a third party in someone else's relationship and has the desire to continue being in the wrong relationship. Listeners, here's Alesa with Jadikan Aku Yang Kedua.
Thank you. from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Bukan ku tak tersipu, bukan ku tak butuh kata-kata, tapi ku meragu, apakah langgap cinta ini berbeda. Meskipun telah sempurna cintamu bagai mimpi yang nyata, ku ingin hatiku bertekuk lutut tak berdaya terbunuh rayumu. Katakanlah buatku membantu tenang, ku diam membisu jana, buatku berpaling mencari cinta yang lain. Oh, pecahkan sunyimu meski ku cinta kau dalam.
Listener, thank you for listening to our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwaves on frequency 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through our Facebook fan page. Through our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram in VOI_officials, and also send your email to voilisteners@gmail.com. Again, voilisteners@gmail.com.